We say, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh Lord, this is how I fight my battles. Sing that again. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, it may look like. Come on. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
The law was dealing with me more about us making it. many want to make
it?
It's a city called heaven. I've got to make it. Help me to make it to the city called heaven somewhere. So we just thank God tonight. So this is what we're going to deal with tonight, trying to keep the faith. Amen. Not allowing ourselves to become distracted by life. Amen. Old man can say, you don't start living till you die.
Yes, yes.
The beginning, your end is just your beginning. Amen. That's what he said on Sunday. Isn't that what you said, man?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, no, you need to get a little old, you might have forgotten. You know? Amen. But truly, we do thank God. The end is really the beginning. That's where you spend eternity. This is just a temporary stop. But nevertheless, we thank God. We thank God for my wife, pressing her way, for God to continue to give her life, health, and strength. We thank God for all of you. Amen. Have any of you tried employing worship in your prayer and dedication, your devotions at home? Have you tried using worship? Amen. I was reading one, I forget who it was. He said, most of the time we start off in prayer by telling God all we want, amen, and what we need, and everything that's gone wrong in our lives. And he said, even the Jews, when they taught them at a young age to pray, they start off with praise and thanksgiving. Right? Because praise and thanksgiving welcomes the presence of God. You can't start off in prayer by telling God everything that you want. Worship is a time where we commune with God. Worship is a time where there's one-on-one, an intimate relationship with God. So you have to learn to worship. In your hard times, worship. Amen. In your difficult times, don't murmur and complain. In your hard times, worship. Guess what? Everybody's going through something. We're all going through something. So don't think you have it any worse than anybody else. We're all going through something. But the difference for those that overcome and those that don't overcome is those of us that are going through and learn to worship and have a relationship with God, we can overcome.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord? So we're going to start off in the fourth division of Psalms. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And this is a time in David's life when he was in distress. This is a time in David's life when he was going through something. Amen. And what I like is all of the great leaders in the Bible went through something. And the scripture said, these things were written for our learning and admonition, that we through patience and faith and patience of the scripture might have hope. All of these things were written aforetime for our admonition, that we through faith and patience of the scripture might have hope. So anybody lost hope? Then you got to go back to what's been written, amen, aforetime. And you know, if you look, I know we're going to get to the song, but if you think about it, even in the scripture, in Acts 17 chapter, when Luke records that they, the Bereans, were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and then they searched the what? Scriptures how? Daily. Right, to see whether those things were so or not. They received what they read in this mind. Now guess what? When they were searching the scripture to see if Paul was telling the truth, they didn't have a New Testament. Right? So if they were searching the scripture, what were they trying to confirm? What Paul was teaching from what? Old Testament. Right? Because what the Old Testament and the New Testament contain, one of them in the New Testament, the Old Testament is in the New Testament explained. The New Testament is an Old Testament contained. Amen. So they go hand in hand. They go together. So you have to search the scripture. Where? If you don't have, if they didn't have a New Testament, everything that Paul was preaching and teaching, they had to confirm it in the Old Testament. Amen. So it's so important that we learn to develop a daily habit of praying and communing with God. Amen. So once again, many believe this is the time when David was fleeing from his own son Absalom. His own son was trying to kill him. So we're going to start off in verse 1. And then read David writes, hear me when I call, O my God, O my righteous, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was. David is in distress. But what does he do in this stretch? He does what all of us need to do. We need to learn to pray. I'm so glad back in the Old Testament they didn't have cell phones. I'm so glad they didn't have telephones. Amen. So when they needed to, they were in trouble, they needed to telephone the glory. Amen. They didn't have to telephone someone else. We need to learn that. He said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" You know, vanity is just empty. Seek after leasing is how long are you going to continue to live your life based on lies, things that are not true. Amen? But know that the Lord has set upon him that is, Lord, I bless your name. The Lord has set aside him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So David is in distress, but he's encouraging himself. He said, as long as I'm godly, I can't go by how I felt in the past. He said, how am I living right now? He says, as long as I'm godly, I know God has set me apart for himself. Verse 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. So in his distress, he said, you know what you got to do? You got to get to your own heart. Commune with your own heart. And if you would tie this Psalm 4 would tie in into Ephesians 4, where the Bible said, be angry, sin not. Right? We got to stand up, be angry, but sin not. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust where?
In the Lord.
You're going to offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in his distress. He said, you know what? I don't have to worry about what nobody else has. I'm trusting in God. And who put gladness in my heart? The Lord put gladness. Lord, thank you. Amen. I don't have to call nobody else. I can have my own private devotions. I can have my own time, even my distress. When I talk to God, and God will put gladness in my heart more than in all time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and David said, I'm going through. And many times we know that when David was fleeing for Absalom, what were he spending most of his time at? In caves. Right, he was spending his time in caves and in the woods, trying to hide from Absalom. He said, but even though I'm in distress, he said, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety. Can we say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So David is acknowledging, he said, Lord, my peace, my comfort, my ease in this distress only cometh from you. Amen. So we're going to start in our notes. My notes got butchered some kind of way, but we're going to start where it says Psalms 4:3. Now, once again, what we're dealing with tonight is being kept by God. Amen. A lot of people get saved, but they don't stay kept.
That's right.
The scripture lets us know he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. How many know that he that has begun a good work in you, he's able to perform it until the day, until he comes back, he's able to perform the good work that he started in you. So the question we have to ask, if God began a good work in you, you got baptized in Jesus' name, you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, who changed? Because we know it wasn't God. The same joy that you had when you first got saved, where did that joy go? Amen. I don't care if you've been saved 100 years, you still ought to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. So Psalm 4:3 read, but know that the Lord has set apart. And we're doing what? Being set apart. And you know, and this set apart is, we went over Pelah, This is another version of Pema. When we went over, say anything too hard for God. But this is Pema, to be distinct, be separated, be distinguished, to be wonderful. Right? That's what he means when he says set apart. God is going to distinguish you. Amen. If you stay righteous, God is going to be with you. God is going to do things marvelously and wonderfully. Pela. Amen. Him that is godly for himself. So God said, listen, I'm going to do some wonderful things in your life for me because you are godly. That's why the scripture said godliness with contentment is what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you have to wonder in this time that we're living in, what is people's true godliness? Y'all with me? All right. So what's godliness? Godliness being ungodly 24 hours a day. I'm righteous 24 hours a day. I'm godly even when I have to deal with negative situations. I'm still godly. Amen. Even when I have to deal with someone that's out of the way, I'm still godly all the time. Why? Because he that keepeth Israel neither suffers nor sleeps. In other words, wherever you go, whatever you do, God is watching you at all times. And a lot of times we say, well, I didn't say it many times. You got to remember when God was dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, he said he knew their thoughts. So we're dealing with being godly. If your thoughts aren't godly, you're not godly. Are y'all with me? You, in order to be godly, your whole being has to be godly. I don't have it here, but can you pull up Philippians 4:8 for me for a second? Your whole being has to be godly. Because when you're godly, God separates you. God does wonderful things for you. God separates between what is godly and ungodly, and we will get to that a little. We will get to that tonight. When God separates, many times, even in this day and age we're living in, we see so much evil going around. If you live godly, God will set you aside for himself. And that is the word of God. So Philippians 4:8, when Paul is dealing with them, how we have to govern our mind. Amen. Because if you don't control your mind will run rampant. Your mind will go places you ought not to go. Amen. You ever go to the store and they play songs and take you back to when you were younger? If you don't have your mind in place, you'll stay there. Amen. If you ever talk to some people and say, oh, remember when you used to do all this wrong stuff? If your mind ain't godly, you'll go there with them. But if your mind is godly, when they go back there, they say, no, I don't live there no more. God has delivered me from that. So in order for us to be godly, we have to control how we think. Amen. Well, I said, well, I didn't think all that bad. It's just a little bit. Jesus said, listen, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, you've already messed up in your heart. So it's not always what you say. It's what God reads is our heart. Are you with me? So man looks at thee, but God looks at our heart. So Paul is trying to get them to get the advantage. He says, finally, he's talking to the church. Amen. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are. Now, one of the ways the devil gets us leaning is when you start listening to stuff as a lie. You know what I mean? Well, how did you get Eve? He told her. Who's the father of all liars? Right? He was a liar, the Bible says, from the beginning. So if you don't get your mind in the truth, and you allow people to dump lies in you, that ain't godly. Alright? And God can't help you. When you allow people to dump lies in you and you embrace the lie, God cannot help you because that is not godly. I don't care who it is. I don't care who the best friend is. I don't care who the individual is. Don't let people dump lies on you. Amen? So the first thing you have to do, man, listen, you can't even get past first base if you're living in a lie. Are y'all with me? Well, I heard, no, who cares what they heard or what they said? Is it true or is it not true? We're trying to get deliverance. We want God to keep us. We want God to set us aside for himself. God can't help you if you live in a lie. God can't help you if you embrace a lie. Because if you embrace a lie, you say, well, I'll let the devil be my God. Because he's a father of what? Well, I just told a little lie. You just exchanged your father for the devil. So God can't help you live God unless you're first in the truth. If you embrace a lie, I don't care where the lie comes from. Amen. You say, well, I was confused. That's why the Bible said, when you don't know what to do, acknowledge the Lord in. Well, I said it, but I didn't. You should have acknowledged God before you allow somebody to dump on you and you dump it on somebody else. You with me? So if I acknowledge the Lord, then I'm in the what? Truth. So finally, what sort of things are true? If you live in a lie, you can't get to the rest of the verse. So to get to the rest of the verse and get the peace of God that passes all understanding, your thinking has to first be right. Can we say hallelujah? He said, what sort of things are just? Is it honest? Honest. Yes, sorry, honest. Right? So first it has to be true. Then if you're dealing with people that just dishonest, God can't help you. Best friend, don't matter. Preacher, teacher, don't matter. If they're not honest, God can't help you. There is a progression to being godly. You cannot live any kind of way and claim yourself to be God. So he said, you gotta be first, you gotta be in the truth, then you gotta be honest. Well, what did you do yesterday? Just start making up stuff. God said, you can't even get to just. Because you're not. I would have done this. You make up the excuses. Remember this. God knows everything there is about us. He said, I know your down sitting. I know your uprising. I know every word in your tongue before it's even formed. I didn't even know your thoughts before all. He said, I'm acquainted with all of your ways. So when you're telling something that's not true, God says, I can't even help you right there because you're not honest. We need to learn to be honest. Amen. No matter, you can make a mistake. God doesn't hold a mistake. He holds when you're not honest. Because when you make a mistake and then tell a half-truth to cover the mistake, you not only are not truthful, you lie and you're not honest. God can't help you because God sets aside the who for himself. Godly. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So after you're honest, then you have to be
just.
That means to be right. That means to be equal. That means justice. Amen. If someone has done something good to you, even though you are having a bad day, you have to be just.
Well,
I had a bad day, so I snapped. You better reverse that snap. Right? That's not just. God deals with us like we deal with others. Didn't the Bible say you reap what you
sow?
Amen. I know one of his kids, they used to tell us, God always sees everything you do. God watches and knows everything you do. So I remember one time I just lied like crazy. I was a kid though. I was old. Yeah, I was a kid. I just lied like crazy, right? Boy, a few little while later, I got in all kinds of trouble. I was like, God, forgive me. I went right back. I knew why I was getting what I was getting. So they drink that in us as kids. So listen, I didn't need nobody to tell me you had told that lie. I went right back to God and got it right. Right? Because you reap what you sow. Isn't it amazing how God has given us all the plans to live right? But then we try to circumvent. We try to change it. We try to, let me get through, because I ain't never get through the notes, right? What sort of things are?
Pure.
Only the pure heart. Now listen, people are wicked. Even in church, saints are busybodies. Yeah, listen, in church, saints are busybodies. I had a pastor call me up and say, "Hey, did you hear something about such and such a pastor in their church?" I said, "No, I didn't want to hear, and I don't want to hear. Thank you very much." You know, so I called the pastor. I said, "Well, this is going on. Is it true or is it not true? Because I don't want nobody dumping stuff on me." Right? So I'm in fellowship with these pastors. I don't want to be going by and say, "Ooh, he told me this." No, I asked the pastor. He said, "No, that ain't true." So, because I want to deal purely with someone. Now, we know a lot of us can deal, I'm just saying that as an example. People have dumped a lot of stuff on you. You don't know if it's true or not, that you mistreat somebody because somebody dumped on you. And it ain't true. And it ain't pure. What are some of the things of love? What's some of the things of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise? Don't let people dump stuff on you that ain't pure. Like my wife and I were dealing with people, they were bringing up some people's sins from umpteen years ago. And they weren't even in the church and didn't know them. I'm like, "Wait a minute. How do you know this impure stuff? Wait a minute. What's been going on? You just got saved. This stuff happened 20 years ago. How do you know about this? Somebody's dumping on pure stuff." Amen. So don't let nobody dump stuff on you. If you just came to Agape, somebody tell you something that happened when Agape first started, say, "I don't need to know that." Amen. Don't let people put stuff, if you're pure, God can't help you. So then all of a sudden you're trying to deal with people and your whole mind is messed up by the power of suggestion. Don't let people dump that stuff on you. "Well, I was treating them right." How can you treat somebody right when in the back of your mind you see them in another way? And you think that's pure? That's godly? Amen. Don't let people put stuff on you. When they call me up and tell me stuff all the time, even when I was in my former church, I said, "I don't want to know." You know what? The Bible doesn't say for us to bite for one another. It said for us to do what? Pray for one another. The church is so messed up today. Amen. People just dumping. Amen. Tell them, "Hey, next time somebody calls you, tell them the dump is closed." For real, tell them the dump is closed. I went down to the dump, the dumpster stuff, and we moved in, we made the dump was open, came out, the dump was closed. I said, "Wait a minute. You taking my money, and I didn't even have all my dump." He said, "I can't help it. The dump is full." I said, "Well, the dump went closed when we came in." He said, "That's your problem now." He said, "The dump is full." So you know what you need to tell somebody? The dump has been passed 4 years ago. So the dump is closed. If it ain't pure, right? He said, at first it has to be pure. It has to be what? True, honest, just, and what? Pure. If it fails any one of those four, you don't need that company. You don't need that individual. Like they used to say, you can do bad by yourself. Amen. What sort of things are lovely? Right? So let me tell you what such and such did yesterday. Is it lovely? Is it going to help me see them in a better way or a worse way? Lovely means you see them in a loving, pure way. If someone dumps something on you, and a person you know and admire for years because they dumped something on you, now all of a sudden you change your disposition. Look at somebody and say, "That ain't God." I said, "Y'all look at somebody, they ain't going to beat y'all up. They might not beat you up in church. They might get you out. But they ain't going to get you down, right? That ain't God." The reason that so many people are struggling is it's too much in the church, right? Like I said, the person we've been dealing with, they're not here anymore, so y'all don't kick this for me, right? The person we've been dealing with had only been saved a year. This is sin. This is when God gets angry. God hates discord. 16 says the Lord hates something as an abomination. Either what? So in discord. This person had been saved a year and was telling us sin that happened when we weren't even in this church. Wait a minute. How are you finding out this? Because somebody wasn't living a godly life. about dumping. God hates that. That is sowing. I don't even want to get to this list. God don't like ugly. Right? God cast the Satan out of heaven because of ugly. He said, what shall be the good report if there be any
virtue?
And if there be any
praise,
think on. Now, what have we been thinking on? Think of ourselves for a minute. We're going to stop right there. Is it virtue? Is it praiseworthy? If you have been thinking on stuff that has no virtue, no praise, you missed the mark. That is not godly. All right, now let's go to, since I'm already messed up and all the notes anyway, let's go to Proverbs 6:7. How many want to just hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? I want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So I don't let people dump on me. Amen. I don't let other pastors talk to me about other pastors. And I don't let other pastors talk to me about other saints. Because I don't want them to tarnish that individual's image in my eyes. Alright, if God wants you to, listen, if God wants you to know some stuff, don't you know God will tell you? Well, how will he tell you? Through his word. That's how he will tell you. You are known through the word. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So we're going to go to Proverbs 6. We can probably get back to the notes, Lord willing. If not this week, we can get that next week. But I got to get to some parts of the notes, right? So let's start with first, let's start with verse 9, all right? We're going to go to verse 9 quickly. Now, we're just going to identify some things. Actually, Tony, put them on the screen to be bigger. We want to identify things that help us not be godly. How many want to be godly?
Amen.
Godliness, there's only one person, individual, that sets the standard for godliness, and it's not the pastor. It is God. Only God sets the standards for godliness. There's a whole lot of the Bible that says in the church that have a moral godliness, but they're denying power from thereof. The Bible says from such to what? The Bible is such a wonderful book if we let it do what it's supposed to do. If you have people that aren't godly, the Bible tells you plainly to do what? Turn away from it. Right? Let's say, this is hypothetical. Let's say somebody went out and sinned last night. And somebody called you up and said, hey, such and such sin. Really? Then you get on, you get to the next person. Now, this is how the church, y'all know the church line work, they don't really work. That's how the church line work, right? I'm going to tell you, but don't you tell nobody else. Now, y'all ain't going to tell us, but y'all will tell. So they say, well, I'm going to tell you, but don't you tell. Guess who sees everything anyway? So if your godly perspective is in order, you realize, don't tell me because I don't want to know. Because if you tell me it is sin, and I want to help your soul, he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way, converteth a soul from hell, and saveth that individual from destruction. If I know you sin, I'm going to have to let the pastor, since the pastor know you need help. I'm not going to give you a situation, but I'm saying they need help. I did that all the time when I was there. So I said, how long will thou sleep?
Oh,
sluggard. When will thou arise out of? Now we went over sleeping not too long ago. We went over the church of Sardis. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little fold of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy one as an armed man. Now listen, and these are the characteristics of what God don't like. God don't like this. A naughty person. What is Zoe? Zoe says, Gio was naughty today. That's brother and sister. I don't think she means this kind of naughty. Right? But a naughty person wasn't going that right. That ain't godly. A naughty person, I don't care if your best friend. cut them off. Right? Because who's our loyalty and dedication supposed to be to first? God. Rather than man. Alright? Walking with a forward mouth. He winketh
with his eyes.
There ain't no truth in it. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his
feet.
Now you know ain't nobody supposed to be talking with their feet. Right? We kind of identify the characteristics that are taking us away from God. Things that are getting us in our mind, we go home, we can't even pray, and we can't even have real worship and devotion with God because our minds are taken up. How'd you get there? God didn't take you there, and those spiritual people didn't take you there. It's those unspiritual people that took you there. Then they, you know what the bad part about unspiritual people, when they take you there, they don't want to get you back. Y'all with me? So don't let them take you there because they can't get you back. And then when they take you there, you can't get back because you don't know how to get back. You don't get better. You get worse. Because you let somebody else take you into places that you are not to be. He teaches with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth. Lord, we bless your name. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be. Why? You live a lie. You allow all the wrong things that hurt you. Then all of a sudden you're broken. And the scripture today is no liberty. Well, why? The company that you keep influences you. Then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he said, evil communication corrupts good manners. I don't care if it is your uncle or your aunt, if it's evil, it'll corrupt you. Are y'all with me? No matter who it is, it will corrupt you. It's in the Bible, it's in the scripture. So you allow all of this stuff to come on you, and then you wind up, why can't I get my mind together? What have you been entertaining in your mind? Amen? These six things does the Lord, what happened? The Lord does what?
Hates
these. This is like an abomination to God. He don't like it. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. What's the first one? Listen, when somebody's in sin and messed up and they proud, distance yourself from them. The Bible said we are not to even have fellowship with a brother that is a fornicator. Right? You're not even supposed to, you can be kind to them, but you're not supposed to be in a relationship situation with them because they're wrong. And if you don't have them see they're wrong, they're all proud. If somebody don't even sin all night long and come to church and I praise the Lord, God said, that's proud. God said, I hate that. I don't like that. If somebody has been running somebody down all week and all month and come to church, hallelujah. God said, I don't like that. If y'all don't say amen, say ouch. You don't like that. Because you're proud, but you're wrong. What's the guy think, Elder? What's the Elder say? If you're strong or wrong, I can't help you. If I'm weak and wrong, what's his name, Matt? Way back. Elder Lynch. He said, now listen, he said, D, I'm gonna tell you. He said, if a person is weak and wrong, you can help them. He said, when somebody is strong and wrong, he said, leave them alone. Alright? So a proud look, a well, why don't you repeat something if you know it wasn't true? Because you might be speaking a lie. So God does not like a lying tongue and hands that shed
innocent blood.
That person don't even know you've been running them down. You just ran them down. You just shed some innocent blood. Because they don't even know what's going on. These are things that God does not like. And harden devises. So listen. Just because you think it don't mean hey, did you see such and such? You know what I think? God says, that's not good. That's your imagination. Right? Remember the thing that God, I know this ain't the Bible answer, that's right, y'all just say what before. You remember the thing, what God hated about when he started the world with the flood? He said the thoughts of their hearts were evil. The thoughts of their what? The evil of man. God doesn't like that. The first world, all mankind, except the eight people, were destroyed because their heart, the thoughts of their heart were evil. How can saints be in church? I don't even know how I got here. Right. But how can you be in church and your thoughts are evil? And you think you got God's favor when you destroyed the whole world before? Amen. Feet that be swift to run. Does anybody understand what that means? Yes. I know years ago you used to call it, I guess, telephone. You know what telephone is? Oh, Brother So-and-so, did you hear such and such say this? What? Oh, Brother So-and-so, did you hear Brother So-and-so? I can mess with your old ladies. Did you hear such and such did this? Oh, really? So by the time brother comes into church, the whole church is looking at him like, that ain't God. If you know it happened, say, listen, pastor, if I don't want to tell you the issue, such and such is going through something, can you please pray for him? And let it stop there. Why are you going to poison somebody else's mind about an individual? That person is so innocent, don't even know what you're talking about. That ain't, look at somebody say, that ain't God. A false witness that, I don't know if it's true or not. The Bible says you do know, but the tree is known by its fruit. Amen. I wasn't sure, you do know. Listen, if I know you have the tendency not to be honest all the time, Bible. He said, almost right and always wrong. That's what he said. Almost right is always wrong. Because if you're almost right, that means some stuff ain't right. Halfway right is always wrong. Right? So if you deal with someone that's not, that has a reputation for not being truthful, when they come to you and tell them, I'm sorry, but the dog is closed. You know what? That guy would not let me dump and I was not happy. I said, man, I might have to be another $64. He said, that's not my problem. I said, well, can't you give me a pass or something? He's like, no. I was like, well, leave him. The old man used to be there. The old man was mad. The old man was working with you. This guy was young. They all missed him. They don't know nothing, right? But I'm just saying, you got to be careful with people. So when people come with you and they got that look on their face or that sound in their voice, tell them, wait a minute before you get started. The dog. I was speaking to an elder many, many years ago, and he was a clown, I guess I was a clown. But I was a godly clown. This guy said, oh yeah, now he's not married. Then I have a wife. Hey, yep, I had my car, me and my girl was out. I said, well, you can stop right there. He said, wait a minute, I didn't finish. I said, you're not going to finish. Anytime you in a car and you and your girl are somewhere, that ain't going right with me. Because that don't sound like God. So I don't need you to give me no feelings. He said, wait a minute, you want to hang up? I said, absolutely, praise the Lord, and goodbye. You know why? God hears what I hear. Listen, God hears what you hear. How? Because you have God in you. So what you hear, you are dumping that on God, and God's going to be pleased with you? Can we say, I don't think so? God don't like ugly. All right. And he that soweth discord. All right, I went off track. No, let's go back to the notes. I don't know how we get there, but y'all just, who have been for it, use it. If not, we'll play it from the internet. But it's all about trying to live godly. You cannot live godly if you're not living truthfully. You cannot live godly when you're involved with all kind of big places in the church. Church should have no big place. If you just met someone and you don't know nothing about their past, then don't let somebody else bring their past up, especially if they got baptized in Jesus' name and have been filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in the newness of life. Because even God says, if you do it right, he said, your sins and your iniquities are what? We need to develop some God habits. Right? Stuff that happened way back in 1820. Any of you been around since 1820? I don't think y'all been around that long. If you are, you're a skeleton. Mommy. You ain't a person. Right? But don't let people be taking you back to places. I remember growing up, and it's so true. Be careful with the power of suggestion. The power of suggestion will corrupt your good manners. Right? So when we first got saved, they said, be careful and don't let people say stuff to you. Because stuff you never struggle with, when someone else dumped their stuff on you, now you're struggling with their struggles. Y'all with me? Why? Because of the power of suggestion. You say, wow, I never even thought about this. How did I get there? You let somebody dump their garbage on you. So don't do that, all right? Let's get back to our notes. Then you say, well, you don't go all over the place. I know. But we're trying to live godly. A godly says, God sets aside the godly for himself. I could go other places, but that's good enough for them. I did a whole lot of work on all my notes. No, I only do what God says to. But we're trying to identify, why aren't we God? Why are so many people struggling out in church? Wrong entertainment, wrong company, sorry. They're allowing the wrong people into their areas. And then they're being corrupted. Not because they want to do it intentionally, but because of the power of suggestion. Okay? So we said, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. And the Lord will hear when I call unto him. All right. Now we're going to compare Exodus 8, 21 and 22. Now listen, God sets aside to who? Godly for himself. And this is the most of our message is going to go back to when God, in the beginning, remember when the plagues were happening to the Egyptians? They were also happening to the Israelites. But then God got to the point, he said, okay, it's not going to happen to my people anymore. It's just going to happen to the Egyptians, okay? So Exodus 8, 21 and 22 reads, and I will sever, that means set apart, right? He's going to set apart. God says, I want to do something wonderful. I want to do something marvelously in that day. Because all around you is going to be trouble, but it's not going to come by thee. All with your eyes may behold to see the reward of the wicked. Amen. So say, and I was severed and be set apart. That's the same tale we just went over earlier. In that day, in the land of Goshen, in what did I do? Oh, I did. Can y'all give me? Can somebody read 21 for me?
Else, thou wilt not let my people go. Behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians, shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are.
Amen. Then he said, and I will separate. You know what God said? He said, I'm going to separate my people, the godly, from the ungodly. That's how God works, all right? I know what I did. I called the same thing twice. I don't know what I do with it. And on my notes, I called the same thing twice. So, Tanya, you want to go to page 4. Yeah. He says, and I will put verse 23 says, and I will put a division between my people and God. Always separates his people. Be on God's side. You don't have to worry about anything. God protects you, right? I separate my people. Tomorrow shall this be. Alright. Now let's go to Pela means wonderful. We know that means is it Pela is a word, its word origin is from the original Pela means is anything too hard for God. Okay? So now let's go to Psalm 25. We're trying to live godly. How many want to just live godly? How many want to show God you trust him? Well, when you trust God, you live godly. If you don't trust God, you live ungodly. Alright? If you trust God, you live. Alright, y'all, can we say this together? If you trust God, you live godly. If you don't trust God, you don't live godly. That's that simple. Alright? So, Psalm 25, 1 read. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, this is actually our scripture that we use for our thing. Alright? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be shamed. Listen, if you trust God, God won't let you be shamed. God won't allow the bomb to fall out and everybody look at you and ridicule you. He said, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 31, 1 reads, in thee, O Lord, do I put, will you put your trust? Right? So we're supposed to put our trust in who? The Lord. Let me never be ashamed. So it's amazing how people will try to protect or cover themselves. You can't do a better job than God can. You cannot do a better job of protecting and covering yourself than God can. Amen. So he said, if you trust God, I don't care how bad it looks, God won't let you be ashamed. Amen. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. Psalm 37, 40. And he shall deliver them from the and save them. It means you're showing godliness. God sets aside apart the godly for himself. So when you trust God, God said, I will protect you, I'll save you. I don't care what the enemy does. God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And this is where most people get it mixed up. The Bible didn't say that weapons won't form, he said they won't prosper. But they will form. But because you trust in God and you live godly, God said you can't penetrate my covering because I'm protecting it. Psalm 34, verses 15 through 19. The eyes of the Lord are upon the and his ears. If you live right before God, you don't have to worry about anything. His eyes are on you and his ears are listening to your cry. The face of the Lord is against them that to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord hear and deliver them out of some of their troubles. So when you're righteous and you cry to God, he delivers you out of it. Stop crying to everybody else, they can't deliver you. Only God can deliver you out of all your troubles. The Lord is nigh to the army. Don't be proud. Even if you mess up, say, Lord, forgive me, I messed up. Because when you come to God the right way, if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. And save as such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out. You know what the Bible says? We're going to have problems. But if you stay right with God, he has to deliver you out of them. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is, Lord, if you don't know anything else, you don't learn anything else. Learn that God is faithful. And because he's faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted. was so weak that I just couldn't help myself. You can't help yourself if you keep God first. But if you allow your flesh to dominate and control you, yes, you can't help yourself. Right? So you're saying that, wait a minute, because you were in that situation, God was not faithful to bring you out of it? God can bring you out of all your troubles if you're faithful to Him. But He will, with the temptation, also make a way to that you may be able to bear. 1 Peter 3:7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a dead hope. What kind of hope? We have a lively hope. I don't care how bad your situation is, you still have hope. Hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Hope, we're talking about hope. He says, if a man hope for that that he see it not, then do he with patience, wait for him. But if you want to see what you're hoping for, that's not hope. Hope says, I trust you, God. I don't know the outcome, but I know who holds the outcome. That's my trust. Amen. My trust is in God. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. You say, this is a guarantee if you stay right with God. Don't allow people to dump on you and take you away from God. He said, why? Who are? Who keeps us? Only the power of God can keep you. I don't care if you go to Archbishop, Bishop. He can't keep you. I don't care how godly your spouse might be, they can't keep you. Only God can keep you, who kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, where you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Anybody have a season? You're in heaviness. You have a season. You're in distress. You're going through some stuff, through manifold temptation. That the trial of your being what? More precious than of gold that perishes. Though it be, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God spared not the angel that sinned, God cast the angels down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto darkness. Well, what is the problem? Sin separates from God. Evilness separates from God. Ungodliness separates from God. Pride separates from God. And spare not the old world. We just went over this earlier. Because their thoughts were what? Evil. The imagination of the thoughts of their heart. Listen, everything they created was just evil. The imagination of their thoughts were evil. Not their thoughts, they just kept creating evilness, creating evil ways till God destroyed them. All right, so it says, and spared not the old world, but saying, nor the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the. Don't think you're going to be in church and get by with it. If you're ungodly, God doesn't like you. And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them in. Wait a minute. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of what? Homosexuality, lesbianism, to make them an example. I try to figure out how they got all these lesbian and homosexual church when he destroyed something. He said, this is your example of what not to follow. I don't care what government legislates. God just sets the standards of morality. And not president this guy, governor that, anybody else. Only God does that. He said, listen, he made them an example of those the way I wish you live. If you live ungodly, your example is Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed everything in the plain because of ungodliness. Amen? And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from.
Amen. They are all
When you're around stuff that ain't right, that vexes you. When you're vexed, you can't have no peace. You don't sleep at night, you don't rest, you're vexed. What unrighteousness vexes you. But he said, thank God the Lord knows how to deliver thee. I just want to live God. Because God delivered me out of temptation. And to reserve the just until the day of judgment to be punished. Amen. So we'll stop there. All right. We'll stop there because you don't want to go over time for those who have to work, get up in the morning. I don't know what y'all are going to work and say. Our pastor was long minute and I was late this morning because he would let us out of church on time. All right. But God knows how to deliver the what? Godly out of temptation. There is no temptation taking you but such as is. But God is faithful. Even in that temptation, God can deliver you if you live God. But if you're not God, God won't and can't deliver you. Can we all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, so do we have any questions or comments? Amen. Any questions or comments? All right, so next, God willing, next week we'll finish this. Provide the Lord will take me to other places. When the Bible says men are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And listen, as saints, how many want to build a church?
Amen.
Well, how many of us want to build a church?
Amen.
We cannot build a church with old bad habits. Right? Amen. Jesus even said he can't put a piece of new garment on an old cloth. It doesn't work. You can't put new wine in an old bottle, which is a wineskin, right? So we're trying to build, but you cannot mix the new and the old. In order for God to help us, we got to stay new. We got to stay fresh. We got to keep our minds in the right place, doing the right thing in order for God to help us. Amen? All right, we have prayer. Anybody else need prayer? It's on this side. Right now. Amen. Anybody else need prayer? So we just want to show, how many just want to show God we're faithful?
Amen.
Develop a prayer life. You know, there are so many distractions. You go ahead, preacher. There are so many distractions. If you're not careful, your time will be consumed. Listen, you ever get up in the morning purposing to do something before you know it's the end of the night, ready to go to bed, and you didn't have anything you planned to do because of what? Distractions. So we have to govern ourselves. Paul says, keep under your body and bring it into subjection, lest after you have preached to others, you become a what? Castaway. That means you are not useful to God. Amen. You're not useful to God. So we have to keep under your body. Because your body, every last one of us, before we got saved, had some bad stuff in our body. You know that? Every last one of us had some stuff in our bodies. Because if you didn't have no stuff in your body, you would already be saved. And the Bible said, even though when you weren't saved, you had stuff in your body, now you are saved, you don't just scarcely make it in. If the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the sinner? I don't want to be an ungodly. So the Bible said when God saved us, he saved our spirit but not our flesh. So every appetite that was in your flesh before you got saved, if you don't keep under your body, that appetite will seek expression. Every appetite. Because God saved the soul but not the flesh. That flesh will seek expression, all right? Let us all stand if we have no questions, no comments. And I pray, Lord, help me to live godly. How many want to live godly? That's the only thing that counts. If you live godly, God protects you. That's what we're going to go over next week. It's just amazing how God did so much, amen, to the Egyptians. And every, you know, all the 10 plagues for the Egyptians was against their what? Their gods. Every one of their plagues was against their gods. Because the Egyptians were strange. When he destroyed the cow, they had the god had a man's body. Beelzebub, which was the lord of the flies. They had the fly, which we just read about, was a god. So they had a god. They hid him. God was a fly. These were all of their gods that God said, listen, I'm going to destroy all your gods. So you let you know there's no god like our God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we bless you.